Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to the book of Galatians, and beginning in chapter 6, and reading from verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we see here that God is admonishing us to be careful that we're not deceived. Also, we'll find in 1 John chapter 1, and reading from verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, if you read this carefully, it does not say that we're deceiving others. It says we deceive ourselves. And the Weiss translation says, if we say that indwelling sin, we are not having. Ourselves, we are leading astray, nobody else. And the truth is not in us. I'd like to read one more exhortation from the Apostle Paul before we go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And reading from verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly and with fear and trembling in our hearts, knowing that we are approaching you as the supreme judge, and yet knowing also that one word off of Satan's kingdom, we ask thee, O God, to look upon us not as the supreme judge tonight, but as thy children, begotten with thine own life, thy own God life, thine own word. Therefore, Father, we ask that you would help us to walk in that light as you were in that light, that the blood of your firstborn son might cleanse us from all sin and unbelief. For we ask this in the precious name that you gave him by inheritance, that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, we read this evening several scriptures that warn us to be ever so watchful that we do not allow ourselves to be deceived, or rather, that we deceive not our own selves. The Apostle John said, if we deny our own unbelief exists, we only deceive our own selves. And the Apostle Paul said, let no man deceive himself. So I hope you can see that it is not only possible for you to deceive yourself, but actually I want you to see how easily it is to do. In Romans 16, verse 17, we read, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Notice here that Paul warns us to mark them that do not teach the doctrine as was taught by him. Remember in Galatians 1, he says, if any man or any angel preach any other thing than what I've already said, let him be accursed. He then tells us how to avoid these people because their purpose is to deceive. He says, avoid them. Furthermore, don't place yourself in a position that you would allow yourself to be deceived. Because a man can repeat himself, a man can repeat to himself a lie over and over and over again, and eventually he's going to believe it. In Proverbs 16:25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. And Brother Branham said, from God's power to transform, he said, how many in here that doesn't have the seal of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, would you just raise your hand and say, remember me, Brother Branham, that I will receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you take the word in your heart and believe it. Now, if you can look at you. Go up, look at the mirror, and you can see where that you're at. And I challenge any one of us. Not only look in the mirror of the Word, stand in front of the mirror one day. Just look into your own eyes, because your eyes is the portal to your soul. Look in your own eyes and ask yourself if you're okay, if you're walking in the light as you should be walking in the light. And Brother Branham says, look at yourself in the mirror, then you see what kind of a spirit is deceiving you. See? Deceived thinking. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Is that true? He says. Now I know that women look in the mirror a lot more than men do. But women are looking in the mirror for the wrong thing. They're looking in the mirror to see how pretty they can make themselves or how attractive they can make themselves. I heard a preacher the other night. It was a fine young sermon from a young man. And he said, the problem is, he says, if you're looking in the mirror, he said, when you look in the mirror, you sisters, he said, you should be dressing for your face, not for your other parts of your body. And he says, if you look in the mirror and your dress does not accentuate your face, if it accentuates other parts of the body, he says, you're not pleasing to the Father. And I happen to agree with that. Now, from his sermon, Christ Revealed in His Own Word, Brother Branham said, notice we must not listen to any other man's word. We don't care how smart, how educated. The Bible in Proverbs says that we must cast down reasoning, see? Now, here in the second realm, first realm is your sense of see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's in your outer body. On the inner body, which is in the spirit, is reasoning and thought and so forth. And we must cast all that down. Can't reason. Say, now wait, if God is a good God, and we're told so much today that He is, if He's a good God, then if I be sincere, though I can't see that in the Bible being right, though I be sincere, I'll be saved. You're still lost. If I go to church and just do the things that I believe is right and try to hold up for what I think is right, well, sir, you're still lost. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. See, you won't be saved, you'll be lost. See? It must be that inside control man. Look, I don't care if your parents were raised in the message. If you attend church faithfully, if you're very sincere, but you're not born again, you're lost. From lean not unto thine own understanding, Brother Branham said, you know the Bible said that you can believe a lie and be damned by it. See, that's exactly the truth. They form, no matter what the Word of God says, they lean to their own opinions or their own understanding. They lean on it. They believe it. They think that it's the truth. You can keep believing a lie over and over and over till it becomes a truth to you. That's right. But how do we know whether it's truth or not? God proved its truth. Because it's in His Word, and He vindicates it. He does His own interpretation of it. And how do they do? Get to this? They do it by their culture, by their education of their understandings. So you see, salvation is not based on your understanding, or your having a good thoughts, or even right thoughts. Salvation is God's business, and you cannot be saved outside of how God said that you can be saved, and that's through His Word. By grace are you saved, and that, not of works, but of faith. By revelation. In other words, if we say that we have no sin, no unbelief in our hearts, we're only deceiving our own selves. The Baptist thinks he made a confession, and that his confession wipes away all his sins. But let me tell you something. Sin is unbelief. It's not just things you did. Those are just attributes of sin. Sin is unbelief. And we all have unbelief to some degree within our hearts, or we would have no need of redemption. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Not I was, I am. Your crucifixion is an ongoing event in your life, not a historical one. That historical event was his crucifixion. But you have your own, and that is to die to yourself, and we must die daily. I am crucified this right moment. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive. I'm living. Well, it's not I that live, Paul says, but Christ himself. His life is alive in me. Christ liveth in me, he says. And the life, what life? His life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God. Whose faith? His faith. The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. And remember, faith is a revelation, and it was a revelation that Christ had, and the complete trust and obedience to his Father that saves me from my own self. So the legalist who thinks by works he can perfect himself goes around with his or her nose up in the air, but they aren't fooling anyone but themselves. Look, I know you're all a bunch of rank heathens saved by the grace of God. You know how I know that? Because I am. And you can't live any higher than your pastor. But I know he saved me. I know he saved you. I was a rank heathen that came out of Catholicism, which is nothing but a bunch of creeds and superstitions. And if I thought otherwise about my salvation, then I would only be deceiving myself. But I've been saved by his grace. And by faith, I'm walking in the light of his glorious presence. And John told us that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So keep walking in the blood, will keep cleansing. It's really an indictment against so-called believers in all forms of Christianity today, all the organizational systems, because most have been taught that based on their confession they once made, that they're saved and will go to heaven. Well, let me give you news. Your confession is not what saves you. It's what he did on the cross that saves you. In the Church Age book, chapter 9, the latest in Church Age, paragraph 68, Brother Ram said, take a good look around you. Examine the people as they walk by. In the multitudes you see, can you pick out those who have the appearance of Christians? I ask the same question. When you look in the mirror at yourself, do you have the appearance of a Christian? He says, watch how they dress, watch how they act, hear what they say, see where they go. Surely there ought to be some real evidence of a new birth amongst all those we see go by. But few there be. Yet today the fundamental churches are telling us they have millions saved and even spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Can you call women spirit-filled who go around, frizzy bobbed hair, shorts and slacks, halters and briefs, all painted up like Jezebels? If these are adorned in modest apparel as becometh Christian women, I would hate to think what it means if I had to witness a display of immodesty. In Matthew 7, verse 13 to 22, we read, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there will be that go therein. Notice he tells us that many will go the way that is broad and wide. But notice what he tells us next, because straight, the word straight means narrow. Narrow is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few, not many, few there be that find it. So the way of life will not be a very popular way, will it? Then Jesus warns us, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. And Brother Brown taught us that fruits are their teaching, what they teach the people. You should know who is a ravening wolf by what he teaches, what they teach the people. Then he says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Of course not. Because if the figs had thorns, it would be hard to gather the fruit. And so with the harvest of God's seed. How is God going to glean a church that acts and looks and smells like the world? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. That doesn't mean that they can just talk the doctrine. But they must live what they're teaching, what they're speaking. Jesus taught us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Brother Bram said, your thoughts are heard louder in heaven than your words. And he also said in his sermon, Hidden Life with Christ, you know, the best thing is to live a sermon instead of preach one. You know that. Your written epistles. And you don't do it in yourself. You can impersonate it for a while, but your sins will find you out. You better just consecrate yourself to God and get on the inside. Shut the doors behind you and burn every barrier there is behind you and every bridge and launch out. Amen. I know it's the truth. I know it'll work. If it hadn't been for that, I don't know what would become of me. That's right. But it ain't the people that you look to then. It's Christ. Let me just ask you something. How many of you have a personal revelation that you're going to get a body change? How many of you just have a hope that you're getting a body change? He also said in his sermon, Hidden Life with Christ, said, you know, the best thing is to live a sermon instead of preach one. You know that because you're written epistles. And you can't do it in yourself. You can impersonate it for a little while, he says, but your sins will find you out. How often we see people, as the Bible says, that they that were sown amongst the wayside, he said, they rejoiced in it for a season, but in times of persecution and hardship, you know, they didn't have any root in themselves, so they couldn't, they just withered and they died. You see? And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, and then as we are sons and daughters of God and joint heirs with him in Christ in the kingdom, then we express him in our lives. If many of us would just live our sermons instead of preaching it, I think it'd be better. If we just go ahead and live the sermon, you know, it's a lot better to live one, to live me one than it is to preach me one, I believe, because I can see your life. God looks at our lives, and the world looks at your lives. He wants to know what our lives are, and people know us. No matter how our action, look, our action is loud, is so loud it drowns our testimony. Depends on what we say. If we're Christians and don't live it, then the people know better. But when we are Christians and say we're Christians and live like Christians, our lives will do it if we never said nothing else. Our lives. We're written epistles read of all men. So they watch how you walk. And I was thinking the other day about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. A seal is marked on both sides. They can see you coming and see you going. Look like a Christian's coming. You look like a Christian going. So, when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus continues saying, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Why? Because it's a living epistle of being corrupt. Its walk is corrupt. Its talk is corrupt. But then he said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. It will not talk corruption. It will not walk in corruption. How can it if it's walking in the light as he is in the light? Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth, not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now look, it's not just by what they say. It's by what they do. If you walk in the light, it didn't say if you talk in the light or talk about the light. You know, talk is cheap. That's what Jesus tells us in the next verse. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So the one doing will enter. The one talking, not necessarily will go. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, preached in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what is iniquity? It's going beyond the limits of God's word. It's knowing to do what is right, and you won't do it. From the power of transformation, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not I cast out devils and worked great and mighty miracles and wonders in your name? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So what is iniquity? David said, if I conceive iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. See, iniquity is something that you know that you ought to do, and you won't do it. You know better, but you won't do it. It's iniquity, see? You know that you should stay with the Word of God, but for the church's sake, or somebody else's sake, or something else, you'll stray from the Word of God and do what the organization says. Well, I don't know. My church says it should be this way, and I believe it's this way. See, and it's right before you that you shouldn't do it. The iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. From Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Brown said, what is iniquity? Ask somebody. It's something that you know you ought to do and you won't do it. They know that word. They hear it. You're listening to this tape. You're listening to this message. You see the Lord say so. You see Him confirm it. Make it true. And you know this just as plain as the sun shining outside. But you hold to your denominational thinking. You hold on to those false things, you workers of iniquity. Oh yes, I had great campaigns. I done this, I done that. Said, you depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I don't doubt that one bit. I spoke in tongues. I sang in the Spirit. I don't doubt that one bit. No question to that, brother, sister, what kind of a condition. This is a trembling time that we're at. This word is coming to life now. You know, I like the way the new translation called the message. It's called the message. But it's a new translation. And in Matthew 7:23, we hear Jesus saying, knowing the correct passage, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everybody talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You all missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Pretty good translation. What a pity on that day when there will be thousands that will hear those frightful words because they have chosen to teach contrary to God's end time prophet, even though they claim to believe God sent him. So many will say, bless God, I believe God sent a prophet in this hour. Lord, Lord, I believed you sent your prophet. Lord, Lord, I preached your message. Lord, Lord, I cast out devils. I had a great missionary program. And he'll say to you, depart from me that work iniquity. I didn't know you. You knew to teach my word right and you wouldn't do it. Or they might say, God bless, I really believe God's prophet. I believe every word that he says. But listen, friends, that don't mean one thing with God. Brother Brown said in a sermon, The Token, he said, don't just come this far and say, I believe the message. You obey the message. Come into Christ. You say, oh, I believe every word you said, Brother Branham. That's good. But that is just about being able to read. That's just being able to read. Take the message. Take it into your heart that you must have the token, the very life that was in Christ in you. When I see that, then I'll pass over you. So don't deceive yourselves into thinking that just because you attend church, you'll be all right. Or just because you believe the message or you preach the message, that you'll be all right. Listen, friends. The people in this message should be living on a much higher plane than the rest of the world. But statistics show otherwise. Right in this message, we have preachers and laity living in adultery and unconfessed sin. Right in this message, we have men pulling deals and women getting on the phone and gossiping. Churches in this message that claim to believe Brother Branham, where the preachers have been married several times, and you can't get on the deacon board unless you've done the same thing. And we call ourselves the righteous seed of Abraham? I don't think so. As I told the ministers in Kampala, Uganda in 2006, how dare you call William Branham your prophet when you won't teach what he taught, and you won't live the life that he showed us how to live. And you call yourself spiritual, and have your hand out to every ministry with a few dollars in their churches? I said, shame on you. I said, David said, I've been young, and now I'm old, and yet never have I seen the Lord's righteous forsaken, nor begging bread. I said, you have no more right to call William Branham your prophet than the Catholic Church has a right to call Peter their first pope. You can claim it all you want, but just because you say it so doesn't make it so. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now think how Paul laid out this verse for us. It says, know ye not that the unrightly wise shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That means everybody outside the message. But he said, don't be deceived. Neither will you fornicators in the message, or you adulterers in the message, or you idolaters in the message, or you effeminate in the message, or you abusers of yourselves with mankind. So you can be right here in the message. Call yourself righteous because of the doctrine. Call yourself righteous because you believe God sent a prophet, and still go to hell. Again in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. And the word communications means companionships. The people you hang around with, it corrupts you if they're not righteous people. So Jesus warns us not to allow ourselves to be deceived. In Luke 21 verse 8 he said, take heed that you be not deceived. In other words, be ever so careful that you're not deceived. For many shall come to me, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I'm anointed. Like Brother Bram said, they're not coming and saying, I'm Jesus. They're saying, I'm coming in his name. I come in the name of Jesus. I'm his anointed one. Hear me. And he says, the time draweth near. Do not go ye therefore after them. And then the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In other words, I don't care what he tells you. Unless his life is righteous, then don't believe a word that he tells you. I don't care if he hunted with a prophet. I don't care if he had visions of Jesus Christ. If he pulls deals and you find out that he's pulling deals, or if he's involved in a crooked money scheme, then get away as far as you can from him. Paul warns us again in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Any means. Well, he says by any means. In other words, I don't care what motive or what moves he uses. I don't care what schemes he has. I don't care what he says, what he does. Nor do I care what he tells you. If his life is not righteous, then watch out for that bird. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And we know that the man of sin is the devil himself. And when they fall away, it isn't from a so-called Christian church, but it's from the faith. And we see many falling away from the faith right among us in the message. And you know, the preachers are the worst of the bunch. Having affairs, then trying to justify their filth by teaching polygamy, that polygamy is better than divorce, they say. Bilking widows out of their life savings and bilking their entire churches out of what little income the people have. Calling on them to make all sorts of great financial sacrifices, yet living lavishly on the money that was meant for missions. I know their schemes, and I'll be a witness against them at the great white throne. Don't try to come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. And do you know what Jesus is going to say? He'll say, you haven't got a clue. All you did was use men to make yourself important and to set up for your own kingdom down on earth. You don't impress me one bit. To the lake of fire with you. Oh yeah. Why do we think that because we're in the message that all of a sudden we're above all these things? When don't you know that the greatest battles are right in the message themselves? So Paul warns us in Ephesians 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Because of what? Because of vain words. Empty and useless words. Like the minister who promises people that when the resurrection took place that he'd drive by their house and honk the horn and they would need to be ready immediately. Such nonsense, and yet the people love to hear those things and they love to have it so. Paul said we are not to be deceived like little children. We're to be grown up and mature. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice, the very purpose of these men is to deceive. So don't think that they're not going to be very good at their craft. They were born to deceive, so don't think that their motives are not to deceive. Paul warns us again in the book of Romans 16 and verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words, and by fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Notice he warns us not to just listen to the way that they speak, but be careful what you hear them saying. Because it is with fair speeches and good words that they will deceive. Jesus himself warned us often, as we see in Mark 13 and verse 15, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. And again in Matthew 24 and verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So don't let miracles and supernatural become tools to deceive you either. For Jesus warned us that the deception would come in this very way. In Matthew 24:24, he said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And he also warned us in Matthew 24:11, that and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And in Matthew 24 and verse 5, he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am anointed, and shall deceive many. So be on guard for the deception. For the deception is ordained to come. But woe to those in whom it does come and are not on guard against it. Now we know that we're living in the time of the great deception, but why is it that people are able to be deceived? Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in other words, with all deceptiveness of unright wise thinking, in other words, with all deceptiveness in a wrong word, they will come to them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So you see, they're not loving the truth and placing the word as their absolute in their lives opens them up for the hour of deception. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the pastor's kids. I don't care if you're Brother Branham's kids, Brother Vale's kids, my kids. I don't care who you are. Be on guard. The Wheat translation says, this deception is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. And that this gullibility is caused by the fact that they did not have a love for the truth. I'd like to read it for you. It says, of every kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing, this gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. And because of this, God sends them a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie, in order that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth but took delight in wickedness. So if they are geared, that means that they are made that way. You know, a gear has little notches in it. And if they're geared to it, it means they're notched the same way. So it's a good fit. The lie is a good fit because it's made for them. You see? In the book of Romans 9:22, Paul says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Well, if they're fitted to destruction, in other words, they're fitted just like a gear. It fits perfectly. The people want it to be so. The people love a lie, and they're damned by it. So if they are fitted for destruction, then they were made to be taken and destroyed. John 3:19-20 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or corrected. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they had their source in God. And in closing, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, it says they will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They can't come to the understanding of the truth because they will not give up their own thinking. They have no room for the truth. And it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse because 2 Timothy 3:13 also warned us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and themselves being deceived. Imagine that. They can deceive because they're sold out on their deception. You see, they believe the lie and they teach others to believe the lie. And people look at their sincerity and they fall for it. But they're geared to the gullibility of them that perish. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your warning. We pray, Father, as we get closer to the end, we know there is a great falling away to happen. It's already been happening, but we realize, Lord, it'll continue because it's going to get worse and worse. The men will be deceiving and yet being deceived themselves. So, Father, we just ask you, as the supreme judge, that you would look upon us as your children because we know that you are our Father, and we've been born of your Spirit. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. May it be a daily walk, not just week to week, not just Sunday to Sunday, but may it be every day, Father, every moment, every hour. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you. And give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.